start a new series today on tough questions. Can you guys say tough questions? Yeah, tough questions. Have you ever struggled with doubt? I know this is a weird question to ask in church, but have you ever struggled with doubt before? Anyone? No, of course you wouldn't. Oh, okay. Ever struggled with doubt before? Yeah. You know, I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. I was homeschooled. Can we cheer for the homeschoolers? Yeah! Thank you, Audrey. Blessed with being a homeschooler and blessed to grow up in a Christian home. And my mother taught us, and we went to church every time church was open. So Sunday morning, Sunday night. Do you guys remember that? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Maybe I'm the only person that remembers that. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Let's do it again. Yeah, Sunday morning, Sunday morning. And so we would do it. We'd go to church, and typically Sunday morning was, there was Sunday school, and then there was church, and then we had first and second service. So there was church, there was Sunday school, and then there was church again. And then Sunday night was, typically we'd have missionaries come and do stuff, and man, some really powerful services on Sunday night. And then Wednesday night we had Royal Rangers. Have you guys heard of Royal Rangers before? Yeah, Royal Rangers. It's like a Christian Boy Scout type of thing. I was an honor guard. Thank you very much. And I was also part of the Frontiersman Camping Fellowship, and I got my gold medal of achievement. So I was the typical homeschooler doing everything that I could to achieve and overachieve. And I remember when I was 16, I decided that it was time for me to get my first job. And I ended up getting a job for about a month at Hardee's, praise the Lord, got a job at Hardee's. And once I started there, I'm like, man, this is totally not for me. Since I was homeschooled, I worked during the day, and I was working with a bunch of older people, and the customers were wild, and the people were wild. I'm like, I can't do this, Mom. And so after about a month, I quit. And then I was looking for a more established job, and so in town, in Rochester, there was a store that was known as Shopko. They've actually, I think there aren't any around anymore. I think they actually filed for bankruptcy a few years ago. It's kind of like a Target. And so I went in, and I applied for the job, and I got the job. Can we give me a hand? This is old Evan. Yay! And this was 30-some years ago. I got this job at Shopko. And I was working in the lawn and garden department, and I was working there over the summer, and I was working there with a bunch of other young minds like myself, and it was a spot where a lot of students worked, and I started getting along with some of the people, and we were hanging out, we were having a good time, and they said, Evan, would you like to go to Perkins tonight? Have you guys heard of Perkins? Is there Perkins around here? Yeah, there is, right? No? No Perkins around here? Okay. There used to be. It's kind of like a Denny. Denny's is the Temu version of Perkins, right? It's kind of like the cheaper version. Perkins is a little bit better. And so, they invite me to Perkins. I'm like, I'm going to go to Perkins. I go to Perkins, hang out with these people. And it was after work. This was probably, I think we worked until 10. So it was like a 2 to 10 shift. And so we got out kind of late. We go to work at Perkins. Perkins was open 24 hours. And I'm there with a bunch of fellow students. And we're talking. And we started talking about what we're doing over the weekend, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know, cool, I'm going to church. Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, what? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to church. No, oh, okay. And so we started talking about my faith, and suddenly I realized that I was the only homeschooled church kid in the group, and I'm talking to these kids, and they start challenging what I believed. And this was one of the first times where I really felt a challenge to my faith. And I'm listening to them, and they're talking to me, and I'm talking to them, and it's like 6-on-1, and they're just going at me and talking about all sorts of things. And I'm like, oh my goodness! I'm thinking back, and that was probably one of the first times. Remember, I left Perkins that night. We talked for a couple hours. I left Perkins that night. And I thought to myself, man, maybe I have some doubts. Maybe I have some doubts. And I thought maybe perhaps today there might perhaps be some people perhaps that have been dealing with doubts. And today I really want to biblically challenge your perspective of doubts. Can you guys say doubt? Now say it in the plural, doubts. Really emphasize the S, doubts. All right, because I think probably, thank you, Cassandra. Well, I think maybe we have, you know, one of you might have one doubt. Maybe some of you might have more than one doubt. And I want to biblically challenge your perspective of doubts, because I believe that doubts can be destructive and harmful, but also I believe that doubts at times can be constructive and helpful. Okay? I'm going to say that one more time. Doubts can be destructive and harmful, but I also believe that doubts can be constructive and helpful. And I would argue that doubts don't necessarily have to be the enemy of our faith, but doubts are often the pathway to a deeper and more meaningful faith. Let me say that one more time. Doubts don't have to be the enemy of your faith, but doubts are often the pathway to a deeper and more meaningful faith. And you might be listening to me this morning like, oh my goodness, what is this guy talking about? This is crazy. I heard this pastor say, sometimes we have to go into the foyer of doubt in order to rest in the sanctuary of certainty. And so I just wanted to take a moment today and talk about doubts. Now, by your own admission, you all admitted that you've had doubts, correct? Amen? Almost everyone raised their hand except Brother Vernon, who's very holy and righteous. Okay, so by your own admission, you admitted that you all have doubts. And there's this term called it's called the relatability principle, where it's this idea that we tend to dislike people that are different from us, and we tend to like people that are similar to us. And I think sometimes if we see people and it seems like they have everything together, it's like, oh my goodness, they have everything together, and it's like, oh my goodness, they have the pet and the dog and the wife and the kids and everything. We kind of see their social media life and everything looks perfect. But then we go and we see them at the store and their kids, like, you know, screaming and yelling and licking the shopping cart and whatever, and it's like, oh, I can kind of relate with that. And so there's like this relatability principle that I think that we can relate with. Are you guys with me? And so I started to look through scripture because I was like, you know what? I wonder if we go to scripture, if there were any people in scripture that had doubts. I just started going. I started looking. I started searching. And I didn't have to get very far at all. And I started finding people that it appears that they might have had some doubts. Sarah and Abraham, when the Lord spoke to her and said she was going to have a child, she laughed and Abraham questioned. The Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, they're like, God, we're so happy that you've done some miracles, but we need you to do some more miracles in order for us to, we need you to do some more. Gideon, you know what? It's great that you did the thing with the fleece, but I need you to do the thing with the fleece again, and then I need you to do some other things. John the Baptist, Jesus said, hey, this guy is the greatest man who ever lived, who, when he looked at Jesus, said, behold, the Lamb of God is coming, who was baptizing people in the Jordan River, was running around eating locusts and honey. Gross, right? Locusts, at least. How many of you guys like to eat locusts? Raise your hand. I was at a wedding once, and there was chocolate-covered bugs, and I partook, and it was actually pretty bad. So don't eat any locusts. Okay, so he's eating locusts and honey. Wild man out in the wilderness, doing things, filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth, right? And he gets thrown into prison. Herod throws him into prison, and Herod is like, you know, stay there. And John the Baptist is like, oh my goodness. And he sends messengers out to Jesus, and he asks a question that it kind of seems like there might have been some doubts. He's like, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else, right? And so I think when we think about the relatability principle this morning, we think about us having doubts. There might be some of you this morning that might have some doubts, and maybe you're not alone. We see in Scripture that people that who were full of faith were people that had questions and people that had doubts. I'll give you another passage of Scripture. Right before the ascension, as Jesus is up on the mountain and he had appeared to himself in Scripture, it says that he appeared to himself, he appeared to the disciples 13 times, and they'd seen the risen Christ. So you can imagine these people, he'd shown himself once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times, eight times, nine times, 10 times, 11, 12, 13 times he showed himself, he appeared to the disciples. And it says this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 and 17. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted." And some doubted. You think about that for a moment. These weren't people that were skeptics or strangers, but these were disciples of Jesus. These were men who had seen him perform miracles after miracles after miracles. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him cast out demons. They had seen him raise people from the dead, and it says that some worshipped, but some doubted. And then if you keep on reading in the next verse, you think, well, what would Jesus' response be in the face of our doubts? You know, again, you have a lot of evidence. Jesus had shown himself to them multiple times. He had performed miracles. He had walked on water. He had turned water into wine. He had raised dead people to life, all these things. What was Jesus' response? And if you look in the next verse, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them and said, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" His response in their doubts is, "I'm always going to be with you in your doubts. I'm going to be with you in the middle of your worship. I'm going to be with you in the middle of your doubts." God is present in our doubts. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. God is present in our doubts. Doubt isn't the enemy of our faith, I believe, but doubt is often the pathway to a deeper and a more meaningful faith. And I believe it's a necessary step in developing your faith. I think sometimes I think about why people might doubt. Maybe you have questions that you can't answer. Maybe you face situations that seem unfair. Maybe you experience hurt that you can't resolve. Why do we doubt? You know, I remember many years ago now, I thought I had everything planned out in my life. I thought that God was leading me a certain direction. I was talking to someone about this the other day. Like, I feel like my short term is pretty clear. Like, I feel like I can see things short term with the Lord pretty easily. But my long term is quite poor. In fact, is it nearsighted or farsighted where you can't see things far away? Is it nearsighted? I feel like I'm spiritually nearsighted. Like, I feel like I come up with these plans and these ideas, and I know exactly, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. But God's plans are always different than what I want. God's plans are always, I never imagined, like, his plans are so different. And I remember I was serving at a church, and everything was going well, and then there was a transition, and then suddenly everything wasn't going well. And before the transition, I felt like I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I had a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan, a 20-year plan, a 30-year plan. I had it all planned out. And then everything just kind of fell out from under me. And then I started asking myself in the middle of the situation, I might have some doubts. I might have some doubts on, is this really where God wanted me to go originally? Is this really where God has directed me? And now when I look at my next step, I don't know where I'm stepping. I feel like I might be stepping out into nothing. And has anyone else ever been there before? Where you're like, man, I know you were with me, but now I'm questioning if you're still with me. I know you were guiding me. I know you were directing me, but now I'm questioning if, like, as I'm stepping out and I'm thinking about this next step, I know you've proven yourself to me in the past, but now when it comes to the future, I'm not entirely sure if I can trust you with my future. Am I the only person? It's weird because I feel like God can prove himself to us over and over again, but yet when we get to a difficult situation, a lot of times we begin to doubt again, begin to question again. But doubt doesn't have to be the enemy of faith. The doubt is often a pathway to a deeper and more meaningful faith. And I feel like the church should be the safest place for us to come together and for us to ask the hard questions. Do you guys agree? You know, I feel like a lot of times what happens is the world is like, you know what, we'll answer your questions. We'll tell you what's right. We'll tell you what's wrong. We'll tell you what's good. We'll tell you what's bad. But I think the church should be the safe spot for people to come and ask questions. I think the church should be the spot where kids can come and ask questions about sexuality, or kids can come and they can ask questions about heartbreak, where people can come and they can ask questions about God and science, and we can ask questions about pain and anxiety and depression. Like, it should be a spot where we can come and we can ask questions, we can struggle with our doubts, we can wrestle with our doubts, and we can work through things that are difficult. A lot of times I think when we think about doubts, we think about our good friend Doubting Thomas, who, to be honest, I think he sometimes gets a bad rap. He was one of the 12 disciples, and I think a lot of times we just think about his doubting at the end, but I was thinking about the significance of Thomas. Thinking about the significance of doubting. And the first time where we really see him have dialogue is in John chapter 14, verse 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. John 14, verse 5. And actually, leading up to that, I don't know if it's possible for you to go earlier to the couple verses before, Bennett. Can you go to verse 1? We give Bennett a hand. He graduated yesterday. Praise the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 1. So Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Keep on going, Bennett. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Keep on going. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you also may be." Keep on going. "And where I go, you know, and where I go, you know the way that I'm going." And so Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's telling them that he's going to go prepare a place for them. He's telling them that he's going to go there. There's going to be a room, a mansion. He's saying all these things. And I can imagine the disciples are thinking, I can imagine it's not only Thomas who's wondering this question, you know? Like, so where exactly are you going? What exactly are you doing? I know you say that you're going. I know that you're doing something. I can even imagine maybe the Apostle Peter wrestling with it, like, okay, so you're going to go prepare a place? Like, where? But Thomas speaks up and he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Just, I feel like it's asking more it's asking more questions to understand exactly what Jesus was talking about. Okay, so, and then if you go down to John chapter, I think I wrote the wrong reference here. I think it's John chapter 16. Where Lazarus was sick, and he's sick, and he's dying, and the word came to Jesus that he was dead. And Jesus is like, I'm going to go back to Judea to see him. And the disciples were like, you know what? We don't think you should go because it's dangerous. And if you go, there's a good possibility that you could be killed. So we want you to stay here for your own protection. And Thomas said this. He said, Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may also die with him. And so I guess the reason that I share those two verses is because, man, I feel like in those two verses, when we look at Thomas, we can see that he was a man that had questions, but we can also see that he was a man who was incredibly dedicated to Jesus. Do you see that? He had questions, but he was also a man who was incredibly dedicated to Jesus. He was a man who was willing to go, and he was willing to die for him. He was a man who was willing to go and give his life for him. He was a man who was, again, he had questions, but he was also someone that was very dedicated to Jesus. I think there are times in our life where we are very dedicated. There are times in our life where we have questions. And then you think about it. He had questions, he was dedicated, and he's following Jesus. And as he's following Jesus, he sees all these things that are happening. But as he's following Jesus, Jesus is arrested, he's flogged, he's beaten, he's put up on a cross, he's crucified, he's put to death, and Thomas is there watching all of it. So he had questions, he was dedicated to Jesus, and then trauma came along the way. A difficult time came along the way. The things that he thought he knew about Jesus, like he thought he was going to be in heaven, or he thought he was going to have a kingdom with Jesus, he thought Jesus was going to overthrow the Romans, the things that he thought about Jesus didn't really happen. And the reason that I'm sharing all of this is I think that sometimes we can be people of great faith, we can be people that are willing to pursue Jesus in certain seasons of our life, and then something comes along and it creates doubts, it creates fears, it creates anxieties. But then look at what happens in John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. This is after Jesus had died, after he'd been raised from the dead. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And so he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And it says this in verses 26 through 28, John chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. It says, and after 8 days. Can you guys say after 8 days? After 8 days. Now I find that significant because they speak to him 8 days before. And you can see that he had doubts 8 days before. You can see that he was struggling 8 days before. And it was 8 days later and he was still with the disciples. I think that's significant there. I think sometimes when our faith is shaken, or we go through a difficult time, or we go through times of uncertainty, like, you think about it, Thomas could have just went home, he could have left the church, he could have stopped following the other disciples, but 8 days later, he was with the disciples again. And Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and he stood in their midst, and he said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach out your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Again, I find it significant that in his doubts, Thomas wasn't rejected. He came to the other disciples with questions and with doubts, and Thomas stayed with them for 8 days. And after 8 days, God met him. He didn't meet him right away, but God met him in his doubts. And I guess I want to, and the worship team can strum. I guess I wanted to encourage you this morning that, again, that God is not distant in your doubts. Maybe he feels far off. Man, you can wrestle, you can grapple with your doubts. Don't let your doubts be a dead end. I think Jesus makes room for questions. Our faith isn't a destination, but it's an ongoing journey where we're working together and we're working our fear with, or we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I think about the Bereans, who they heard the word and then they examined to see if what Paul said was true. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been dealing with doubts. And I guess I wanted to give you three quick things and then we'll close. Three quick things. Maybe you're here this morning, you're dealing with doubts. First of all, it's okay to wrestle with your doubts. It's okay to reason together. It's okay to bring your doubts before God and not run away from them. I think sometimes when people go through some difficult times, instead of pressing in, instead of being consistent, they run away. It's okay to wrestle with your doubts. It's okay to bring your doubts before God. It's okay to examine in Scripture and to search Scripture and to pray and to, I don't know if you've ever had something like that in your life where you just can't quite seem to understand it and you just keep on going and keep on being persistent. It's okay to wrestle with your doubts. Another helpful thing is to talk to someone who is maybe spiritually mature, a pastor or a teacher or someone who is even going through a similar situation. You know, one of the most helpful things for me when my mother was diagnosed with cancer was to talk with other people that were going through the same thing. And that was a time of doubt for me, but it was a time where I pushed in and I pressed in. I talked to other people, and that was really helpful. Wrestle with it. Talk to someone about it. And then, thirdly, just get into the Word. In fact, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In Psalms chapter 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path." In Psalms 119, it says, "Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Lord, today, I believe that you are wanting to strengthen some people here this morning. There are some people here this morning that have been struggling with some doubts. It might be doubts in their faith. It might be doubts in their health. It might be whatever it might be, God. I know that there are some people here that are struggling with doubts. And God, I know that you want to strengthen us today through the power of your Spirit. Father, I pray that you will remind us today that you are present in our doubts. God, that you are present in our fears, Father. I'm just thinking about the story of the storm and the disciples in the boat, in the storm. You were sleeping in the boat, in the storm, while they were struggling, and they came and they asked you to rescue them. God, we know that you are present in our doubts, God. And I pray that you will strengthen us. I pray that your Spirit will minister to us this morning, Father. I pray that the church will be a place where we can wrestle with these things, but also I pray that the church will be a place where we grow in our faith. We know that our faith isn't a end game, but that it's a journey where we work and we develop and we work and we develop. God, I pray that you will be with us and that, again, if anyone has doubts or fears, that they will search you, search your scripture, get into the word, talk to other people, wrestle with the things that you've called us to wrestle with, Father. We know in your scripture it says that we are to work out our salvation, to wrestle with our salvation through fear and trembling, God. May we be people that love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Again, if there are people here this morning that are struggling with that, may you remind them that you're with them. God, as we sing this song, may you continue to minister in your holy name.